sing a new song, and I'm going to sing another song. First, I'm going to sing Be a Missionary. Be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way, be it in the town or country or a busy avenue, Africa or Asia, the task is up to you, so be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way, the Lord is soon returning, there is no time to lose, so be a missionary, God's own emissary, be a missionary today. Let's go! And I'm going to say, joy. That's how I'm just going to say it. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you, what a lifetime with Jesus and others. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do. Put yourself third and spell joy. Goodbye.
Good morning to you guys out there. Good morning to you guys that are here with us in person. How about those new little songs that Kennedy sang? That's just awesome, you guys. And she did those from memory. Usually she wants to have her songbook, so... some of y'all have been sharing with me out there that your little ones are singing and doing things too, and reading the word. You know, try to read with them every day, y'all. Me and Kennedy have like what I call like mini church. Every day we try to read from the Bible together, and then we praise and worship the Lord together, and then we pray. So, you know, try to do that with your little ones and raise them up in the Lord, okay? So it's a blessing whenever they minister back to us. And I thank you guys also. I've seen so much encouragement that y'all have been giving to Kennedy online. Thank y'all for doing that, for lifting her up. Okay, I want to give a couple of shout-outs right quick. I want to give a shout-out to Miss Samantha. You're a blessing to this ministry. We can't do the things that we're doing without you. We thank you for what you're doing and of being a part of this ministry. Now, I want to give a shout out to Mary S. She shared with me about this deception that I'm going to be speaking about today. So I want to say thank you, Miss Mary, for bringing that to my attention. Today's message is going to be, for lack of a better title, Deception of God's Name. This is going to be part one. And that YHWH, some of you may not be familiar with that. A lot of you guys are. Supposedly, that's the, we'll just say initials of what is supposed to be God's true Hebrew name. I usually pronounce it Yahweh. And also Jehovah, because that is all wrapped up in this, okay? Now, we're going to look into where that YHWH and the word Jehovah came from. And we're going to see for ourselves if we believe it is the true sacred name of God the Father, because that's what they say it is. Now, I just heard about this Yahweh in the last few years from preachers on TV, okay? The main two that I can remember really hear and teach on it and speak on it are going to be revealed in this teaching series. There are people that believe we are to only speak the Hebrew names of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, when you find someone teaching that garbage, you're usually dealing with a Hebrew roots person. Hebrew roots, I'm going to have to bring a message on it. Hebrew roots, that's people that are trying to be saved under Jesus Christ, under the new covenant, but then go back over here and live under the law, okay? They want that grace over here to get saved, but then they want to go and try to live under the law. You can't do that, you guys, okay? So when you see people trying to do that whole, you're only supposed to speak their Hebrew names, you've run into somebody that's not got a right heart, okay? They're trying to live by the Torah. That's the first five books of the Bible. And for true Jews today, they're still rejecting Jesus Christ. And let's look at Scripture and find out about the Jews, because I'm not finding too many that actually believe in Jesus and celebrate and worship Him. A lot of the ones that I find in my research and everything else, they're the ones that hate Jesus and rejected Him. So what does God say about those Jews? Let's listen. 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So this scripture applies to them. They are not our standard. Okay, I have not seen many Jews that don't have a hardness about them. And that's because they don't know Jesus. Okay, I'm not talking about the ones that are really Messianic Jews and are truly saved. But I'm talking about the majority, because I haven't seen very many that are really saved by Jesus. Okay, so if they don't come to Jesus before the tribulation, they will go through crushing. And not many will survive. So I want us to be clear about that. And there are people that say, you know, well, the Bible says we're supposed to pray for Israel and Jerusalem and bless them and all, and we are. And the Bible clearly says they are the chosen people. The true Jews, okay, are the chosen people. And but we have misunderstood that blessing. Blessing and cursing is what we speak out with our mouths, okay? You can bless with, you know, money and material things, but how can you curse as well, right? It's more the words that we speak. When we lift them up to God in prayer and we pray for God's will to come for Israel and Jerusalem, okay? That's blessing. And everybody is, you know, funneling their money into Israel that is being, you know, it's being governed by the people who hate God the Father and Jesus Christ. They're up there playing a role. They're playing a part to make you believe that they believe in the Father. But if they believe in the Father and they don't believe in Jesus, they don't have the Father. Okay? So we got to quit playing games about this stuff. I personally would not be funneling my money into Israel. I would be blessing them with my words, lifting up to the Father, praying for them, because His will is going to come forward. But they don't come to Jesus Christ before the tribulation, they're going to go through a crushing, and not many of them are going to survive, okay? So let's go on, and because we got to be clear about who they are, okay, for the most part. Mary mentioned a Hebrew name for God the Father that I had not heard. And so that's how the research for this message began. I researched and I prayed, and I'm still praying about this, and I'm still researching it. But I feel like I have enough of it right now to go ahead and go with the message. So I'm going to present what I have found so far, and we're going to get going on this study, okay? This is based on what God said His name is in Exodus 3:14. But first, before we go there, I want us to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan's first attack was on the Word of God. Hath God said? Isn't that how he started it? Challenging God's Word? Did he really say that? Let's look at Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, my point for that is that it tells us right there, he is very subtle, more than any other beast of the field. So we have to remember, he's subtle. Look at this first picture. Now, we've all grown up, oh, he's red and he's got a, you know, a pitchfork with him and he's got an arrow tail. There's some truth in that. You guys, there's some truth in that, especially when you study his Baphomet form, okay? But does he jump out from the bushes looking like this? Usually not. He can, and if he shows up to you like this, it's to really put that spirit of fear in you and to scare you, because he's nothing but a bully and somebody that's trying to do fear-mongering, okay? But he normally doesn't show up looking like this because he's subtle. Look at this next picture. Now, this was news to me. I don't know how old this is, but it looks like a TV miniseries, and it's called Fallen. And they keep telling us what they're doing and what they're up to, y'all. Isn't this one so obvious? They are not trying to hide anything anymore. And so here this guy is, says a prophecy, a destiny, a fallen angel. And it says at the bottom, it says, are angels among us? Well, I want to tell you something. Doesn't he come looking more like this? Handsome, young, cool. He's going to come more like this than he is that other crazy thing jumping out on us, right? Okay. So in looking at this next picture, let's think about this. What did God say to Moses out at that burning bush? He got his attention by setting that bush with his presence. His very presence was in that bush, and it was on fire, and it caught Moses' attention because that bush was not being consumed. It wasn't burning up. It was remaining with fire in it, and he had to go see it for himself, right? And God will do that kind of stuff sometimes to get your attention and say, get over here and look at this thing, you know? So let's look at that. Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, now let me back up. This is when Moses, when he was sending Moses back into Egypt to set his people free, to bring them out of that bondage, remember? And Moses said, well, who do I tell them has sent me? Okay, and this is what God says. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Okay, so from that we can see that when asked, God said his name is I Am. Okay, now I went to Wikipedia because of this other name that I was exposed to that I had not heard. So I, you know, began researching and digging on this. Wikipedia, when I looked up I am that I am, says this. I am that I am is the common English translation. JPS, among others, and JPS is Jewish Production Society, I believe, is the common English translation of the response that God used in the Hebrew Bible when Moses asked for his name. I'm sorry, that's Jewish Publication Society. Okay, so it's the common response that God used in the Hebrew Bible when Moses asked for his name. It is one of the most famous verses in the Torah. Now, the Torah is the Hebrew word for teaching, and it means or refers to the first five books of the Bible that were given to Moses, okay? Now, I typed in this other name that was shared with me, and it's spelled E-H-Y-E-H. I typed that in, and this is what came up. Almost the same identical thing for this I am that I am. It says, it is one of the most famous verses in the Torah. Haya means existed in Hebrew. Ahaya, that's that E-H-Y-H, is the first person singular imperfect form and is usually translated in English Bibles as I am, or I will be, or I shall be. And then it gives the example of Exodus 3:14. And it goes on to say that it is pronounced high up. And that part where it says that, and some Bibles say who, I am that I am, and some translations say I am who I am, that word is asher, A-S-H-E-R. And then it says ahaya again, because we remember it's I am that I am. So in that, the Jewish Bible, it's saying ahaya, asher, ahaya. Okay, I am that I am. And it says, literally translates as, I am who I am. So, in the Jewish Bible, it's saying, Ahaya. Okay? So, I learned that what's in the Tanakh, that is the Hebrew Old Testament. This Ahaya is what is listed in the Tanakh. Okay? Now, I looked in my reference books, the things that I have at home, that I have physical hard copies of. Look at this first book. This is called a Pictorial Bible Dictionary. It was given to me by a good friend. And when I looked in it, so I looked up because I know that we have been taught or told that Jehovah is God the Father's name. And so I went and I looked up Jehovah. I believe I tried to look for I am, and it referenced me here, or it wasn't there at all. So I went to Jehovah. Let's read this. So it says, Jehovah, the English rendering of the Hebrew tetragram YHWH, one of the names of God. Its original pronunciation is unknown. The Jews took seriously the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. And so, to keep from speaking the holy name carelessly, around 300 BC, they decided not to pronounce it at all. But whenever in reading they came to it, they spoke the word Adonai, which means Lord. This usage was carried into the, that right there stands for Greek Septuagint, or the Greek Old Testament, when they translated it from Hebrew into Greek. So that was carried right into that, where the sacred name is rendered Kyrios. Consequently, or Kairos, consequently, in the King James Version, Lord occurs instead of Jehovah. Whereas in the American Standard Version, renders the name Jehovah. When the vowel points were added to the Hebrew consonantal text, so they used to only have consonants, and then later, just before the time of Jesus, they actually began to have vowels, and so then they started inserting vowels into the consonant text. The Masoretes, those are Jewish scribes, inserted into the Hebrew consonantal text the vowels for Adonai. So they said, well, we're going to fix this up, and in order for that YHWH, in order for us to pronounce it, we're going to put the vowels from Adonai into it. What kind of logic was that? Okay, now, one thing I want to point out is that saying God's name, just saying his name, that's not blaspheming his name, okay? So they were ridiculous with that junk that they spun out to us, okay? He wants an intimate relationship with us, and he wants us to call on him, okay? They learned to be superstitious. They learned this garbage that they were doing by that time. While they were in captivity to Babylon, and maybe even before then when they were in Egypt, because I don't really see that God ever got the idolatry out of them ever since the time of Egypt. I mean, that's why they had to wander around in the desert for 40 years and die off before he would let the next generation go into the promised land. And we're going to look at, as this teaching goes on, about how bad all of that idolatry, they were steeped and soaked in it, and it just doesn't seem like they ever came out of it. You read the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, and even in Chronicles, and you see where they had a good king, then they had a bad king, then they, you know, had a bad king and a bad king, and then a good king, and then, you know, the northern kingdom mostly had evil kings, and then, and it was just back and forth, and it was just a big mess. And before they got kings, God had to keep turning them over to other nations for judgment. Then they would cry out. When it got so bad, they'd cry out to the Lord, "Save us, ah!" Then he would send someone in to rescue them out of it. Then they would go and roll back in their idolatry, and then it would get so bad, and he'd cry out, "Oh, save us!" And then he'd send somebody. And this kept going on and on and on through the whole Bible, okay? So we can't forget that, all right? So I want us to talk about those Jewish scribes. Look at this next little picture. I pulled this up because I think it's appropriate to this teaching. This book, they're calling, it's the Talmud. And you see how they wrote around it. It's full of hate. It's full of racism. It is full of lies. It says in this book that, I mean, just to give you an idea about how bad these so-called Jewish scribes that wrote this Talmud, which is not a holy book, how much they hate Jesus, they wrote in there that he did sexually perverted things. You want to know about blasphemy? This whole little book is filled with it. It's ridiculous, the things that they've said and done in this book. Okay, look at this next picture. This is about a book that was written about the Talmud. It says, from Publishers Weekly, what exactly is so scandalous? How about Jesus punished in hell by Jewish priests for eternity by being made to sit in a cauldron of boiling excrement? Now, this book was called Jesus in the Talmud, written by Peter Schaefer. Okay, and remember when I shared some of the things I learned that the Jews are saying about this book? That, I mean, that was one of the things too. I mean, they say such horrible things about Jesus in that Talmud, and I want to tell you, it's not holy writings. It's not loving God the Father, because we just read the scripture. If you don't have Jesus, then you don't have the Father either. So let's not kid ourselves. But we got to get down to who are these people who have been writing some of this stuff that a lot of our studying and our scriptures have been spun out from. Okay? Look at this next guy. Now I have no idea who he is. He must be somebody. If somebody's willing to put a quote from him on thing. But he says, the Talmud is to this day the circulating heart's blood of the Jewish religion. Whatever laws, customs, or ceremonies we observe, whether we are Orthodox, conservative, Reform, or merely spasmodic sentimentalists, we follow the Talmud. It is our common law. Okay. So I want you to think about that, because he put all of them in the same boat. He said, no matter what type of Jew you say you are, we all follow this Talmud. It's our law. Okay? And because supposedly Jewish scribes wrote it, right? They're rabbis, and they're people that they hold in high prestige, wrote this book. Okay? Along with something called the Kabbalah. We'll get into that later in this series. We're going to get into it. Okay. So I want to say, why would Jews who don't love Jesus honor his name? Because remember, he said before Abraham was, I am. That's in John 8:58. God the Father's name was changed throughout our Bibles a total of 6,000 to 7,000 times. In studying, I see different numbers, so whatever. That's a lot. Even if you just said 6,000, even if you said 5,000, that's a lot, okay? So if I am were used all throughout the Bible instead of Lord in capital letters, if every time it was him you saw I am in capital, then by the time Jesus said I am, we would have all recognized who he is more clearly. We would have made that association and that connection so readily and easily, wouldn't we? The Jews got mad at him because when he said what he said in John 8:58, when he said before Abraham was, I am, he made clearly known to them who he was. With that statement, he told them that he was God and that he was his son and that he was equal with God. Why do you think the things that he was going around saying was always infuriating them? Okay, let's look at Philippians 2:6. Who being in the form of God, just talking about Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's equal with God. He's one with him. Okay? So now let's look into this name, this Yahweh Jehovah business. Okay, Yahweh Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton, which is YHWH. Let's look into this. If you break down that last part of Jehovah and the last part of Yahweh, you get this Hawa or Hava or Hova. Okay? So I looked up the numbers that relate to all of those parts in the Strong's Concordance. And listen to this. So this is the last part of Jehovah. Not the Jah part, but the Hova part. One thing is Strong's 183, Ava. A primitive root, which means to wish for, covet, greatly desire, be desirous, long, lust after. And I'm like, I know God doesn't want us to be coveting. And I'm like, that sounds kind of okay. Let's move along to 1943, which is Hova. It's another form, they say, for 1942. And it means ruin, mischief. Now remember, this is all supposed to be associated with God's sacred name. And this part of it, ruin, mischief. Let's look at 1942, Hava. And that's from 1933. It says, in the sense of eagerly coveting and rushing upon by implication of falling. Who fell? Listen to this. Desire, also ruin, calamity, iniquity. Iniquity? That's sin. Mischief, mischievous thing, naughtiness, naughty, noisome, perverse thing, substance, very wickedness. All of this, according to the root of the last part of that word, is supposed to be in God's sacred name. Okay? I want to tell you something. These are not definitions that match God's character at all. At all. This is perversion. The synagogue of Satan. Those that say they are Jews and are not. I will tell you this. A true Jew, one that God considers a Jew, is somebody that loves God the Father. But I'm going to tell you something. They don't even love him. They didn't even love him enough to even recognize his son. And some people can say, well, a lot of them, you know, didn't recognize the apostles did, the disciples did. Remember, they were saying, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you him? They knew enough to know that there was something special and something different about him, and they were questioning and they were following him and they wanted to know. They were seeking and they got to know the truth. So, the ones in power right now, let's not kid ourselves. They don't even love God the Father, much less Jesus Christ. The ones writing this material, this perversion which we just read, they are the ones, you think about it, I have told before in these teachings, who is in control of our literature? Who owns the publishers? Who owns the colleges? Who owns the books that go into our public schools, that go into our colleges? And remember that they have pulled true material and have replaced it with lies. I see enough of it even in Kennedy's homeschool. And she's in a Christian curriculum, and I still see enough of it pumped into even her curriculum. I can only imagine public schools. And colleges, by the time you get there, forget about it. And it doesn't matter even if you go to Bible college. It is tainted just about as bad. Okay? They got an agenda, and they're running it. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind. Who is it that's publishing and getting these things out to the people? Okay? Now, if they really love the Father, they would come to Jesus. But they are busy trying to keep the world from getting saved. They have the same opportunity that we do to believe in Jesus Christ and to get saved. And all the scriptures point to Him. Even if they're only hanging with the Old Testament, the Torah, as we hear that they so religiously cling to, it predicted and prophesied and said there would be one that comes. And enough of the world is speaking about Jesus Christ that they need to get their self together and get with it and get saved. Shame on them if they don't before that tribulation. Shame on anybody. Okay? Now, let's look at Matthew 23:15 when we're talking about these people who are writing these corrupt things and tying it into God's sacred name, and we have not connected the dots, okay? Or the ones who are shut up and shut down and certainly are not on TV saying anything, okay? Matthew 23:15. This is Jesus speaking. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. These are the people that were writing the material and making the rules even back then. We'll bring out some more scripture about what Jesus rebuked them about as his teaching goes along. But I want you to see, even in Jesus' day, he was already dealing with the lies and the corruption. It was already well underfoot, even when Jesus walked this earth, okay? And there's another scripture that talks about them not entering in and not letting anybody else enter in either. That's their goal, okay? Now, look at this next little book. This is another one of my reference books. And I want you to look at this little thing and look how horrible it is. I bought this before I learned what I know now. It is published by Zondervan, who publishes the Satanic Bible. But I'm also learning that many of our publishers aren't true and pure anyway. When you look at their little symbols and their little logos, you begin to see things, okay? So I tell you, Lord have mercy on us because we're in the thick of it. Okay, let's see what this book had to say. When I looked up Jehovah, it says, a misleading representation in English of the only name as distinct from titles of God in the Old Testament. Since it is uncertain what vowels should be attached to the Hebrew consonants, YHWH, that make up the divine name, actual pronunciation must remain hypothetical. Don't know what vowels go in, therefore we really don't know how to say it. But there are reasonable grounds for thinking that the name was Yahweh. Reasonable grounds. That's like getting married and saying, well, I thought your name was Betty, you know, and her name is Susan. And she's like, yeah, but no. Okay? You think she's going to want you to keep on calling her Betty? I don't think so. Okay, so I want to tell you, these are very important words here because they straight out said Jehovah, a misleading representation in English. Now, this held true for me, and I've looked for this. I can't find it around the house. But when I was learning about God, first learning about him and learning about all his different names, which is really not names, it's parts of his character, okay? He's just like us. He has a name, and then he has many different characterizations of himself, parts of him, right? And he's loving, he's, you know. And so I had bought this thing, and it was like a fold-out, one of those laminated kind of fold-outs, and it said names of God. And I remembered reading in there, but this was when I was a baby Christian. And it said whatever about Jehovah. You know how we didn't, the English alphabet didn't have a J for a while, and then J came about and all of this. But it was saying that it was really like an accident or by mistake that they formed this word. And I was thinking, well, something shady going on there, right? But I just dismissed it and said, okay, whatever with that, and kept on going. Because I always have that mind of, well, they must know what they're doing, so okay. They're documenting it and telling us right out in the open about it, okay? So, it is a misleading representation in English. Look at this. This is about from the same books over here in green in the next slide. It says, our English Bibles, generally the Jerusalem Bible is an exception, follow the scruple that avoids using the divine name. Printers have agreed on the convention that Yahweh is represented by the word Lord in capital letters and small caps. When Adonai is used independently and in its own right in the Old Testament as a divine title, it appears as Lord. Let's look at when I looked up Yahweh in that book, or the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH. It says, this is not in reality a word, but is known as the Tetragrammaton. The four consonants standing for the ancient Hebrew name for God, commonly referred to as Jehovah or Yahweh. The original Hebrew text was not vocalized. YHWH was considered too sacred to pronounce. So Adonai, which means my Lord, was substituted in reading. When eventually a vowel system was invented, this was shortly before the days that Jesus walked the earth, since the Hebrews had forgotten how to pronounce YHWH, they substituted the vowels for Adonai, making Jehovah, a form first attested at the beginning of the 12th century A.D. Wow. Took it a while to get out there and get going. 12 centuries after the time of Jesus Christ, they had this out in circulation. I want to tell you, it's very important to realize that it plainly states they had forgotten how to pronounce his name. So they just said, well, let's just substitute these vowels from Adonai and throw them in there, and that's probably good enough. Okay, we'll put that out. And it did not, Jehovah did not come about until the 12th century. Now, I looked in another one of my reference materials. This book here is the Interlinear Bible, Hebrew, Greek, and English. So I took a picture of the page so we could take a look at this. Now, I want you to look, so you know that little funny looking writing, that's what's actual written in Hebrew. The little numbers above it are where they have coordinated it conveniently to Strong's concordance, right? Now, and then what's written below is in English. So what I want you to do, and Hebrew reads from right to left. So when you're looking at this picture, you got to start on the right-hand side and go to the left. So you're going to see I am just above, let's see. Where you see I am, look just above it and you will see it written in Hebrew with Strong's reference 1961 written above it, okay? It's written three times right here. It's once on the fourth line, so count four lines up. One, two, three, four. And then you got to go all the way over to the end of that line, and that's where you see it for the first time. See I am? And look right above it and see that number 1961 above the Hebrew? That's telling you what it is in Strong's Concordance. Now, you see there's four little characters there, kind of like what I call a little funny-looking X, and Scott says it kind of looks like an N, and then the little, I don't know what you'd call that next thing, and then the little bleep, and then another one of those things. So there it is. Okay, then if you go to the third line, count three up, one, two, three, and you're going to see it right there at the beginning. And you go all the way over towards the end and you'll see it again. Every time you see I am in Hebrew, if you look above it, you see it written the same way, the same characters. And you see every single one of them referenced with 1961. If you just look at the third and fourth line And everywhere you see 1961, look just below it, and you're going to see what the characters for God's name, I Am, written in Hebrew, actually look like. Okay? So then, let's look at this next picture. I went online, and I pulled up the Tanakh, or Tanakh, whatever, however you say it. And it's got the English over here on the left, and it's got the Hebrew over here on the right. And so I just want you to see again, this is what God's name, I Am, written in Hebrew, looks like. It's highlighted over here on the right-hand side. Those four characters are what stands for I Am. And how you can tell when you look at this down here, where I have it highlighted, if you look just above to the right, you see it right there. And if you look just above, just it's even like touching the highlighted part to the left, you see it right there, because you're going to see it two times on the row above. So I Am, and then that word in the middle, and then I Am. Then you go down to the next line where it's highlighted, and you see it again, I Am. Because remember, he said, I am that I am. And then he said, tell them that I Am has sent you. So you're going to see it three times close every time you research it. Those same characters you should see three times right there. And if you don't, then something ain't right. So, okay. Now, knowing what it looks like in Hebrew, and I will tell you right now, let me make this disclaimer. I am not a Hebrew expert by no means, okay? So let's look at this next picture. I pulled this. This one says, I will be what I will be. And there's several different for in the middle. It basically is to exist, the existent one. I looked in the Greek Septuagint, which I have, and it says the being. Now, because we know about aliens and demons and all this, that might sound kind of woo, but it means being. He's always existed. He's always been in existence. You know, in Kennedy's school, they teach he was never born and he will never die. Think about Revelation, where it says that he was and is to come. That covers it. Past, present, future. Okay, he is. All right. So they're saying, I will be what I will be, because there are different thoughts on exactly how that's translated. And look at it. The first part is the same thing as I am in Hebrew. Then they've got that word that usually is that or who. And then there's I am again. That funny little X. And then the other, you know, three characters. Okay, because I want us to get very familiar with what I am actually looks like in Hebrew. Because that's what God said his name was. He said, I am. Okay? Now, look at this. This next picture, you know, for those of you guys who really study into, you know, scripture, you know that in the Hebrew language, they had the word, then they usually had a picture that stood for the word, and then they also associated a number with it. So they had numbers, pictures, and a word. Okay, so when you look at this, all of this information right here, the letters of I Am, when you look them up, when you look up each one of those letters and you look at how they say that in Hebrew, it's Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey. Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey, okay? That's what I want us to really get a hold of. Look at this next picture. And look at it on, okay, we're going to just break this down. Over here on the left-hand side, like in the real pretty colors, this is TV preachers are teaching this, says I Am. They're teaching this as, and it is, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. And they're saying that is God's sacred name. And they have no problem telling you it's Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. And that's correct according to that chart that we just looked at. But look over here on the right. This is what we just learned, written in Hebrew, stands for I Am. And it is Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey. So this on the right, it doesn't match what's over here on the left. There are two characters that are different. The only two are the second and the last that match. Those other two, they don't match. What the TV preachers are preaching doesn't match with this over here on the right that says, I am. Starts with Aleph, okay, the first letter of the alphabet. Okay, I want us to watch, keep all of that in mind as we watch this little 4-minute clip about the Tetragrammaton, which is YHWH. Watch this, you guys.
The word Lord, represented in all capital letters in most English Bibles, is known as the Tetragrammaton. It expresses the combination of these Hebrew letters. This name is countless thousands of years old. It is the most holy name of God, given to Moses at the burning bush, the one that most English translations render as I am. The Hebrew letters sound like this: Yud, He, Vav in the modern Hebrew, or Wa in the ancient Hebrew, and then He. Yud He Wah He is also the forgotten name of God, which Jewish scholars and researchers say has a meaning and a pronunciation that was lost because their ancestors have refused to speak it aloud since about a generation before the Roman destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Today, Yud He Wah He is most often rendered as Yahweh when written or spoken by Christians and others. It is still never pronounced aloud by Orthodox Jews. The pronunciation Jehovah is an older, less accurate rendition of these letters. It originated with the early German translators of the Hebrew language and their sounds, thus the more Germanic sound of Jehovah. Yud He Wah He. Let's investigate the ideographic meaning of the Hebrew letters Yud He Wah He. An ideogram is a symbol that represents an idea, like the male and female shaped signs that you see on the outside of public restroom doors. Hebrew letters have had ideographic meanings since the most ancient of times. There are several ideographic meanings for each of the letters. Aleph, for example, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, can mean both ox or bull. Bet, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, represents the words house or tent. But in each case, the ideas represented by each of the letters are very closely related. With all of this in mind, using the ideographic meanings of Yud, He, Wah, He, most commonly accepted by Jewish scholars throughout the centuries, the translation of the letters Yud, He, Wah, He of the Holy Name of God, symbolically speaking, can accurately be translated as Yud, the hand, He, a window or the meaning, behold or look, and Wah, a nail. So, symbolically speaking, the combination of these letters can be accurately and most assuredly translated as Yud, He, Wah, He, behold the hand, behold the nail. When one considers that Yeshua, or Jesus, in Hebrew means Yahweh is our salvation, then the meaning is even richer. Through Jesus, Yahweh provided our salvation. If you don't believe it, behold the hand, behold the nail.
Okay, let's look at this next picture, and let's talk about what we just saw on that short film. If you notice, that was put out by Ichthys Films. What is that? Look at this. Remember that shape? See that shape behind these two? That is called the Vesica Pisces, or the it's the same thing as Ichthys. But Christians have bought the lie that it stands for the fish that Jesus multiplied. So the people who put that film out are boldly calling themselves Ichthus. But for those of us who are awake, you have to think about that and go, okay. They show Jesus and Mary. Remember, they put Jesus and Mary in this thing all the time. And last week we began to learn they're putting Joseph and baby Jesus together. And remember, the guys at the top in the Catholic religion, they know who they're really worshiping, and they know they welcomed in paganism because they didn't think the gospel was strong enough to bring people into the church. And they welcomed in paganism, and they changed the names of the pagan gods to Christianize them. And the people at the top know who they're really worshiping. So this is not, that almost looks like Joseph in this thing. It's either Joseph or Mary, but that's really Nimrod or Ashtaroth. And baby Jesus in the Catholic faith, the people at the top know, is always Tammuz, the sun god, okay? So here they are, and they're always putting them in that shape. Remember, because in the occult, they worship that. They worship the sexual perversion, the male and female body parts, and they say that's the womb of Mother Earth that Jesus came through, okay? So you'll see Mary and Jesus in that all the time, but once you know what's going on in that religion, if you'll study and do your research, and I gave messages way back when I was new to all of this on the Catholic faith, okay? If you study into that, you'll find out who that really is, in that it's not Mary and Jesus, okay? That's not God's glory around them. Remember, those that are not awake, like I used to be not awake, okay? Always thought that was God's glory, those halos, those little yellow shiny halos, and I always thought that was representing God's glory around their heads. But we know that this represents sun worship. We've learned that, especially in the Mark of the Beast series, okay? So, since that is the fake glory around their heads for sun worship, what is that thing that they're in? So what would that thing be, right? That represents Mother Earth and her womb, which they say Jesus came through. And for whatever reason, they put Mary in it because, you know, she's recognized and worshipped as Mother Earth because she's really Ashtaroth, okay? The occult worship the sex organs and all sexual perversion. And in so doing, it's considered the worship of Nimrod and Ashtaroth, the sun and the moon, okay, the false trinity. So we must keep this clue in mind when we listen to teachings, because many like to put out false information to keep confusion stirred up. I see that, and I think, you know, a deep-rooted truth like that, you know how to do deep study and research to figure out what YHWH or YHVH means, but yet you can't figure out what that ichthus stands for. So that's where you got to start going, okay? So I want to tell you, in that video, they did not show what we just learned, I am, is. They didn't show those Hebrew letters. But rather, they showed the writing for what is Jehovah or YHWH. They didn't show I am. Because remember, I am begins with alpha, aleph, okay, not yud. Satan likes to be called, I want you to think about this, when they wrapped the whole thing up, they were really trying to come bring it home for that home run, and they were trying to tell you, behold the hand, behold the nail, as if it's Jesus, it's God the Father, it's the holy name, right? I want y'all to remember something that we've all learned. That Satan has one of his little nicknames is the nail. And I want to tell you, so as to boast, couldn't that be as of him boasting that he nailed Jesus to the cross? Because remember, he's not sorry he did it. He's not smart enough yet probably to realize he messed up. He knows he's doomed, but he's trying to lie to everybody else, okay? So look at what they presented and think about what they said and apply it to Satan. Behold the hand, behold the nail. That fits with Satan's pride, doesn't it? He likes to be called the nail because he likes to be known as the one who nailed Jesus to the cross. Okay, let's look at this next picture, y'all. So here it is again. This is what all the TV theologians are preaching and teaching. This, Yud, He, Vav, He. And they give you the letters underneath. Remember, in Hebrew, the Y and the J are interchangeable and the W and the V are interchangeable. So they say transliterated into English, YHWH or JHVH, Yahweh, Jehovah, are interchangeable. So this is what stands for Jehovah, and it's printed on many occult things around this world. And it's in many occult churches around the world, not I am. You don't even see this starting with that, like I said, that funny little X, or like what Scott said, kind of look like an N. That ain't the first character. Remember, Hebrew reads left to right to left. That ain't even in this word. So you have to think about this. What is this and where did it come from, right? Now, look at this next little picture. The name of Yahweh in Genesis. Again, that's not for I am. This is what we've learned stands for Jehovah or YHWH. Now, they give us something to think about here. God didn't reveal his personal name until Exodus when Moses asked. So why is the name of Yahweh showing up in Genesis? Good question, right? Let's look at Exodus 6:3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, go over here to Genesis 22:14, which was before the time of Exodus, before the time of Moses, okay? And Abraham, this is when Abraham took Isaac up to sacrifice him, and then he was stopped. God stopped him, right? Right here, Abraham says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And right there, they just told us through all of these study guides and references that when you see capital L-O-R-D, it is the sacred name of God. So you're like, okay, something right now, you should be saying something shady going on. Okay, something should be bothering your spirit. Okay, so following, I have included all of the references in Strong's Concordance that refer to God the Father's name. And I want to tell you, when you go onto the church website, you can see, like I always say, my full notes are there. So I'm not going to read every single one of these, and I mean, you guys can look them up for yourself too, or you can go on the church website and see all of them, okay? But I am going to hit on the main ones that apply to his name. What they're saying is his name. Listen, 1961, remember when I showed you in my Greek, my Hebrew Bible, and every place that that little funny X was for I am, it had 1961, 1961, 1961, because I told you, wherever you see that, that's supposed to be his true and sacred name. This is what 1961 says, Haya. It says it's a primitive root to exist, be, or become. Come to pass. And it says beacon altogether, be, become, accomplished, committed, like, break, cause, come to pass, do. And it has a lot of other words here at the end of all that definition. This is referenced and coming from Exodus 3:14, where God says, I am that I am. Now, when you look at another one, 3068, that lists out what they call the Tetragrammaton, YHWH. And they say, self-existent or eternal name of God, the Lord. And then they say, Jewish national name of God. Now, I want to tell you something. Like I was trying to point out, Jesus was already dealing with this corruption of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he walked this earth. He already reprimanded them and said, you're not even following my Father's commandments. You're making up your own rules and stuff, okay? So remember, those that wrote the Talmud hate Jesus, and they don't have the love of the Father either, a love for him, of or for him, okay? And all of their writings are tainted, all right? So when you look at this Jewish national name of God, and you look at that, I'll just say, look at that flag for Israel. And when you follow this ministry, you know that thing is satanic. What they've got on there never was a Star of David. God's not about symbols. He never has been. That came from Egypt and Babylon, okay? So you have to question, okay, Jewish national name of God, which Jews is what we have to be asking. Because I want to say, too, I'm not anti-Semitic. We are to love them. We're supposed to love everybody. We don't hate anyone, an atheist or anybody else. We don't hate, right? We're praying for them and praying that they come to the Father through Jesus Christ before the tribulation, okay? And so we don't hate any of the Jews. We need to pray for them because somewhere along the line in their idolatry, in their bowing down to those false religions and gods because they mixed with those Canaanites freely, and then God put judgment on them and sent them into captivity. They wound up in captivity in Egypt. They went there by God's command, and they wound up in captivity, and he pulled them out. But then he had to send them to Babylon for judgment. And they never came out of that false idol, idolatry, and worship, that system. That's where they got superstitious then. Ooh, we can't even say the name of God. I wonder if that even happened, because I'll tell you, these ones that wrote the Talmud and the Kabbalah, they tried to harness supernatural power and not share it with anybody else. And we don't want what they got anyway because it's tainted. But that's what they believe. We'll keep it to ourselves because they think they're the elite ones. They're the ones that need to know. That's what people in secret societies believe. I'm privileged to have this information, but you're not. That's not who God is about. The power that you should be chasing is him through Jesus Christ. And let him flow and move through your life and see people get healed and see miracles happen and see deliverance happen. Instead of, we just want to see, you know, if we can call down fire on this. We want to see if we can blow this up. I want to see if I can get a lot of money. That's chasing, this, you know, Satan. And he'll bless you. He'll bless your socks off if that's what you want. It's his supernatural power with lying signs and wonders. And then when you stand before the judge and the Lord, the creator of all, it'll be a shameful day. Okay, so you got to say Jewish national name of God. So what Jews are considering that to be the name of God? Okay, for the short part, you'll see it over in Psalms. We're going to get more into this as this teaching goes. But some people want to call him Yah or Jah. They also, it's for Jeh, like Jehovah or Yehovah. 3050 is for Yah. Says it's a contraction for 3068, which is the one I just read. That basically said the Jewish national name of God. And it says, meaning the same, Jah, the sacred name, the Lord most vehement. Compare names in IAH and JAH, because the I was before the J. Okay, that's what they say for part of the root of his name. So you have to think, who's saying that's the sacred name of God, okay? Let's look at this next picture, because I want you to see, and I'm going to be bringing this out in this message, especially maybe next week some more. Look at this, in the center of this sun is not written, I am. Remember, you don't see that funny little X over here on the right. You don't see that beginning, this word. This Hebrew letters here represents Jehovah or YHWH. So this is the word Jehovah being used in sun worship. And I want to tell you, we know that the Catholic Church is worshiping the false Trinity, and that they sing in Latin, and they use and uphold Lucifer's name. So why should we believe they are exalting the name of the one true and living God? That does not say I am, which we just learned is what he told Moses his name was. Look at this next picture. This is taken from a church in Hafnerberg, Austria. And again, if you look at those letters, that's not Jehovah. There's no little funny X or N at the beginning. That is not saying I am. That is the word Jehovah in the triangle with the sun rays. So in closing, we understand that our Christianity is under attack, and it has been ever since Jesus died. That's when Christianity was established, okay? A Christian, a Christian, to be like Christ, right? Today, our Bibles are being attacked, and we know that the ones that we own already in our own homes, not like you went and bought a new translation that's all tainted, ones that you've had for years and years and years in your own home, that it's been attacked through science and witchcraft. And I call that Mandela Effect. I gave a series on Mandela Effect, okay? Here is an example of the Mandela Effect. I believe it is. Acts 12:4. In the New International Version, it says, after arresting him, he put him in prison. This is about Peter. Handing him over to be guarded by four squads of soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Okay, remember Herod was the Roman representation over the Jews. Now, that same passage, Acts 12:4 in the King James Bible, says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. What? Why would NIV say Passover? And why would King James say Easter? There's an agenda here, that's why. Listen to this. The NIV is a Bible version supported by the Catholic Church. When you go on these different ministers' websites and you look at the products they sell, the ones who are touting that they are Christian, not Catholic, Christian, you'll find them selling and promoting Catholic material right along with what's called Christian material. Okay? When you go on Catholic websites, you'll see that they don't mind the Catholics having an NIV Bible. It's supported by the Catholic Church and it's very corrupt. Yet here in this scripture, they used the word Passover and they didn't use Easter. Remember, Ishtar, Asherah, all of that comes from Ishtar. That's her name. Astarte, that's the name of their god, goddess. Okay? This is to make the King James Version look untrustworthy because they know for years and years and years the true teachers and preachers of God have stood with the King James Version. Okay, so now they're trying to twist and make it look bad, like it's got problems, putting crazy words in it and messing with it, so that then you go and you look at the other versions and you go, oh, well, they look good, they look right, but this one, I don't know. See? So listen to this. I want to tell you something. Even with their Mandela junk that they're doing, and even with whatever the Jews have or haven't done, which is looking like they have done, to our King James Bibles, I will still say from what I have researched, and I'll be sharing more as we go along, that it is still the best translation. It is only a translation, you guys. They did not speak like this when Jesus walked this earth, okay? No, there's people that think that he talked like this, King James. He didn't. Okay, it is a translation. But it's still the best translation that we have, and it's the closest to the original Hebrew text. Okay? I want to look at that word because I really want y'all to get this, Passover. So I looked it up. It's in Strong's 3957. Pascha. They say it's of Chaldee origin. Well, isn't that interesting? Chaldee, Chaldean, that's Babylon. That's the Babylonians. That's what they spoke. As far as I know, they did not serve the Lord God Almighty. They never believed in Jesus Christ. And this is the before, this origin would have been before Jesus died on the cross. Okay, but we know God instituted Passover for his people way back in Exodus when he told Moses to take the blood and mark the doorpost. And whoever had that blood on the doorpost, the death angel would pass over, right? So what were the Chaldeans doing with a word Passover that we're equating with the Passover that Jesus is for us? It makes no sense. There's some corruption going on, you guys. So it's of Chaldee origin, which is Babylon, and they never celebrated Passover. God instituted that, okay? And it says the Passover. Well, because listen to the definition. It doesn't match a Babylonian definition who did not serve the Lord God Almighty. It says the meal, the day, the festival, or the special sacrifices connected with it. Then they go so far as to say Easter, comma, Passover, as if it's for either one, interchangeable. No, they are not, my friend. Easter was all about fertility. It was all about that goddess, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, with her bunny rabbits that she used as familiars, and fertility symbols and everything else, the rituals that they did. Okay, so we got to wake up, y'all, and realize just because they're publishing this stuff and getting it in our hands, we have to desire and seek and come closer to him, regardless of what tainted junk they've put out there. Okay, I want to say, they are driving an agenda. They are trying to confuse new Christians and those who seek after the truth. Okay? Because the other people, they could care less. They already got them, right? These two words, they're not interchangeable. They do not speak of the same event. Okay? So let's look at this last picture here. Because this guy, he's right here, this picture is really bringing it home, y'all. He says, if Jesus ain't right, y'all, which Hebrew name is the right Messiah name? Yehoshua, Yahuwah, Iowa, Yahushua, Yashaya, Yahashua, Ahaya, Ieheve, Yava. Yes, I mean, this goes on, and it's just, I have heard, there's names, obviously, that aren't even up here, until pretty soon you're just like, yeah, what? I mean, okay? Well, that should be telling us something. This picture says a lot, y'all. I want to tell you, I asked Scott, I said, how come you never say or have said Yahweh or Yeshua? And he said, because he doesn't speak Hebrew. And he isn't trying to impress anyone. That should speak to us, okay? Now, I want to tell you, for me, because I have said Yahweh, I have said Yeshua. As far as I can tell, Yeshua is supposed to still be proper, but I'm getting away from this Hebrew business. I'll tell you that much. I'm not Hebrew. Just like Scott said, I don't speak it. I don't write it. And God knows. He knows I speak English. He knows. So I thought it was neat, and I wanted to call him by his Hebrew name, okay? Because I know that when Paul met Jesus on his way to Damascus and he knocked him down on the ground there, Jesus spoke Hebrew to him. And I believed these teachings that have been out there on TV from the TV evangelists and preachers, okay? So I believed them. But God has been growing me up, and especially the last months, he's really revealing the deception that's been going on with those TV preachers, okay? And some have very likable personalities. They have a lot of charisma about themselves, okay? They have a lot of charm. But I want to tell you something. We got to not be fooled. They are even using sorcery to draw people to their teachings and to captivate you, okay? So for myself personally, you know, you have to study and do your research and pray about this as we go forward with it. But for myself personally, I'm sorry I ever said Yahweh or Jehovah, and furthermore, hallelujah, because the end of that is supposed to be, it's touted that it's the highest form of praise to him. But now we've just learned that Yah and Yahweh and Jehovah or Jehovah don't appear where he said I am, and was actually just a guess that they rolled out to us and said, yeah, that's the ticket. So now we've been going around saying hallelujah and all of this stuff. I'm not anymore. I'm not saying it no more. But all I can do is show you what he reveals to me. And, you know, we can learn and grow up together. And I want to tell you, when we learn to do better, we got to come out of this filth, y'all. We got to come out of this deception, okay? And I want to leave y'all with this. You know, Satan has never stopped attacking God's word. He started that junk in the garden, and he saw that he had success. He's been attacking God's word ever since. Why do we think he stopped? Why do we think we have perfect, you know, whatever? And I know God said he would preserve his word. His word that's been spoken out, it will come to pass. It will not return void. It will accomplish what he pleases where it is sent. Okay, and we know Jesus Christ is the living word. And the thing is, don't we find those Dead Sea Scrolls? Haven't they been preserved for us to find? And for those, if they fall into the right hands, to know that it actually backs up, most of all, the King James Version. Okay, even if it's got problems, it's still the best of what we've got to work with, okay? And the Catholic Church has been against getting the Bible out into the hands of the people, hot and heavy. And I may bring some more of that out in this teaching series. But, I mean, you know, they were fighting tooth and nail William Tyndale from getting that Bible out. And, you know, and we got to remember, too, I saw a teaching about this, where we got to remember those who gave their lives just to get the Bible out. Doesn't it speak to us when somebody gives their life so much more that probably was the truth. They died for it. Just like all of those apostles died for the truth. Jesus Christ. Okay? And I want to tell you also, worrying about if Jesus' name is okay to say, yes. That is our translation, our English translation from Greek, Iesus. And we have Jesus, and he knows. He knows how the English language came about and what letters represent his Greek name. He knows. Okay? Jesus is good to say. Okay? Now, and this is also a way that they've dumbed down our Bibles. Instead of really putting God's name where it should have been, they just started putting a title, Lord. Lord. And then God. And I know, say it too. So now we all go around saying Lord and God all the time, and the Muslims go around saying Lord and God, and the, you know, the Catholics say Lord. So everybody's just saying Lord and God, and we all think we're talking about the same one. When somebody gets up to accept an Oscar, I want to thank God. What God? Right? Okay. So they really did us a disservice by just taking his name out and putting Lord there, because Adonai is Lord. It can be any Lord. El can be any Lord. Elohim can be any. I mean, you see, so those are kind of like generic forms of. All right. I want to tell you, we are going to go deeper into this teaching. And we're even going to look at the origin of hallelujah and see who that is praising. There's an agenda with all of this, y'all. So, okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Your word says that you love us, for God is love, and that you have plans for a future and a hope for us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, no matter the deception that the enemy has tried to put in books and reference materials and maybe even in our Bible translations themselves. Nothing, like Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. When we have a heart to seek you and want to know you and to want Jesus, nothing can hold us back from you and your love. Nothing. And I thank you and I praise you, Father, that your truth cannot be hidden and suppressed. No matter what the enemy does, no matter if they burn our Bibles, no matter if they ban our Bibles, no matter if they try to write lies in our Bibles, no matter the Mandela effects to change God's word, Father, you told us it was coming. You told us there was going to be a time when there would be a famine of your word. Why do we not understand that we're in that time? Why do people... I thought that famine meant that all the Bibles would just be taken away and gone. But now we see preachers and pastors who don't even preach on your word. We see preachers and pastors who are devoted to Satan. They're masons and secret societies and witches standing in the pulpit. We see where they tried to trick and fool us in the words that we say and our very Bibles and the very reference books that we go to. And Father, the famine has already begun where your truth is not being preached in your churches because ministers are preaching from Bibles that were tainted and corrupt from the very printers. Leaving out scriptures, leaving out chapters, leaving things out. And they're preaching from that stuff. NIV has attacked fasting very hard. They've taken those fasting scriptures out. It's a weapon. It's strong and mighty, pulling down strongholds and bringing victory. And they took it out because they don't want the Christians to know that they can fast and seek your face, Father, and that you will break out the things from their lives that need to be broken down. You honor fasting. Heavenly Father, I thank you that if we will just be like Abraham was and just walk with you and love you, if we are to believe that he didn't even know your name, Father, but he knew you, he talked with you and he had intimacy with you. You came to him. Just like you're coming to every single one of us. He didn't seek you out. You sought him out. And even today, you're seeking out your children. You're standing at that door and knocking if they would just open the door and let you in. Father, help us to serve you no matter what, no matter the corruption that comes on this earth, no matter the deception that's rolled out. Help those who are seeking you to find you, Father. The Bible says if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. So I want to thank you, Father, for your revelation. You reveal all things to us by your Holy Spirit. I want to lift up for salvation Robert, Yolindi's husband, and Sally's family, and Father, the people in our lives that we love, our family and our friends who are not saved. We lift them to you, Father, and we ask you by your Holy Spirit to draw them to Jesus Christ. We pray that you send your angels in, Father, to fight for them, to cut them loose from the lies and deceptions of the devil. We bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind him in their lives. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our lost family and loved ones. And we pray, Father, for their salvation. I want to pray for healing for Robert. He was in a car wreck and he has brain damage and he's laying there unresponsive. I want to pray for Diane's son to be healed from deafness. For Eddie and Casey's son and Ada's son to be healed from autism. For Sally's husband and her family to be healed. They have different forms of cancer, and her husband, Father, that he's having struggle in his health. Heavenly Father, you know that everybody listening has somebody, a family member, a friend, who's got some kind of something that they're battling and fighting. Autism is so much. There's so many with that. Father, there's so many different diseases, deafness and blindness. And Heavenly Father, so many people that are disabled from different things. So many people, their bodies are being crippled. And Father, I pray, first of all, that they would be led to understand to forgive. Because your word says you have to forgive in order for me to forgive you. So prayers can't get answered. Deliverance and healing can't come unless forgiveness flows. And it'll flow both ways. Father, I lift every one of these people up and everyone that's on our hearts and minds that need a healing touch. Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you are the healer. You took those stripes in your body and on your body for our healing. You didn't do that for the fun of it. So we're reaching out to you now and we're asking for healing. I want to pray for those who are nursemaids to elderly parents or to disabled children or to loved ones. I cannot imagine being in your shoes. We have some close friends who have a daughter who has been disabled ever since she was like a baby, 9 months old. It takes a toll, Heavenly Father. They get so tired. So worn down. Sometimes they feel so unappreciated, and unloved. And they wonder, I'm sure, that they sometimes get angry at you and bitter at you and wonder why. Father, I pray that you soften their hearts toward you and that they will forgive you and not hold any hate or bitterness toward you. Father, that they will say, okay, if this is what you wanted me to go through, you must have a reason. And Father, I pray that you will help them to wait on you and to love you while they wait. And Father, I pray that we know you're a God of miracles. It doesn't matter how long someone's been fighting or dealing with something, Father, at the right time, you can deliver, you can heal. So we lift up those that they're taking care of, but we ask you for their healing, and we ask you to strengthen those that are taking care of someone. Give them strength to persevere, Father. Pour your love into their hearts and lives. Father, I pray for more grace to be poured out on them. Meet their needs, Father. Lift them up. Let them know there is a purpose in all of this, that your word says those that love you and are called according to your purpose, you will work all things for their good. And Heavenly Father, I want to lift up the poor and the needy around this world. That's your heart. The orphans and the homeless. And let us not forget those who are in prison. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for them. The ones that the world steps on and kicks to the curb and brushes past them and doesn't even see them. Father, you love them. Help us to have a mercy, love, and compassion for them, Father. Meet their needs, Heavenly Father. Let them see Jesus working in their situation, in their lives. Heavenly Father, for everyone listening or reading this message online, I pray for them. I pray, Father, for your will, for your goodness to be done in their lives. They were created for good works. I pray for them to desire and crave Jesus more and more every day, and to be molded and shaped in His image, Father, to be like Him. By Your Holy Spirit who works in and through us, Father, bind Your children on this earth together in love. Help us to dwell in unity, Father. Bless and provide for Your children, and lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Hey, you guys. I just want to take a minute to, let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from Him and you just kind of left it behind, and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does His part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says, for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to Him. Okay, and He's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss His mark and we don't please Him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from Him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe You died on that cross for me, and I believe You rose again, and You are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for You all the days of my life. And thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in His name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear His voice, right? You want to hear Him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear His voice. And how you hear His voice? Read His word. That's His words written down for you and I to read. That's His voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray,
You speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him, he's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I ask, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk. Okay. You don't have to have fancy whatever. All right. And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony. Okay. God bless y'all.